This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montaigne with David Green.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Morning Edition's journey through nations of the Arab Spring, through Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt, has now brought us here to Misrata, Libya, where some of the heaviest fighting took place in the uprising against Muammar Gaddafi last year. We're outside the Misrata War Museum, where people have brought some of their trophies of victory, ranging from Gaddafi's green chair to weapons captured from Gaddafi's forces. In a larger sense, Tripoli Street, the street where this museum is a giant war museum, because up and down this street you see burned and blasted buildings from last year's fighting. Very little has been repaired. You see graphic evidence of how Misrata suffered. And so it's ironic that people who were clearly victims of the war against Gaddafi have now themselves been accused of victimizing others. Gunmen from Misrata helped to win the war and afterward committed an act of retribution. They targeted a neighboring city accused of siding with Gaddafi, and they erased it from the map. Civilians from that city were killed, and tens of thousands were made into refugees, their homes destroyed, all of which the United Nations labeled war crimes. Misrata leaders are not apologetic, as we learned when we had coffee with a businessman and political leader from the city.
My name is Mohammed bin Ras Ali. I lived all my life in Misrata. I was in Misrata during the whole thing.
He means Gaddafi's siege of his hometown, which lasted for months. The many dead included two American photojournalists, Chris Hondros and Tim Hetherington. Ben Ras Ali says the neighboring town called Tawarga committed atrocities in support of Gaddafi's siege.
They have tortured and killed and displaced and burned fields and houses. And they have committed the ultimate sin in our culture and our religion, which is rape. All coming from a supposedly a good neighbor, you know.
Should they be allowed to return?
Not in my lifetime, I don't think.
Meaning that...
And this is coming from somebody who's very moderate, I would say.
There's one more fact about the town that was destroyed in retribution. In this overwhelmingly Arab nation, most of Tawarga's population was black. And Misrata residents have made an explosive charge that this city of some 30,000 black people rose up as one, marched into Misrata, and raped Misrata women. Though the UN Human Rights Council has found little evidence of this claim, it was used to justify the destruction of a town. So we've been driving south from Misrata through what was a war zone, and we've just passed mile after mile after mile of vacant homes, many of them burned out. Almost no one has returned. And now, as we move into Tawarga, or what was Tawarga, we see that even the name of this city has been erased on the road signs. It's been replaced by a new name, New Misrata. From the highway, the first thing you see of Tawarga is a cluster of apartment buildings. It looks like they were used for artillery practice. Then you arrive in the neighborhood beyond the buildings. The destruction goes as far as we can see in every direction. Schools are empty. Piles of trash in the streets, burned out shells of cars still in the parking spaces. We've not seen a single human being, which is exactly the way officials from Misrata want their neighboring town to be. We visited Yusuf bin Yusuf, head of Misrata's newly elected city council. May I ask about the problem of reconciliation, of living among people who fought against you? Reconciliation, he answered, can happen between people who fought over materialistic things. It cannot happen between people who killed families or violated honor. He adds that he doubts Tawargans had the rights to their land anyway. An old story says the Tawargans came here long ago as escaped slaves. House after house, burned out, the gates falling askew. Tires in the street, burned out cars in the street, garbage everywhere. The destruction is so uniform, it's hard to know where to stop and look around. We finally pick a long residential street. NPR employees were in this town immediately after the fighting ended in this area and saw almost none of this destruction. It has come afterward, after the fighting. Here's a structure full of debris, broken down refrigerator, burn marks on the wall. The little items of human existence scattered around. There's a kitchen knife. Here's a shower head that's been pulled out and thrown into the middle of the street. Ms. Rottleiter say, in effect, that Taworga earned its destruction, though they've struggled to prove it. Have you been able to identify what exactly they did and what evidence shows that they did it? Ms. Rada Council Leader Yusuf bin Yusuf makes a sweeping claim. He says Taworgans volunteered, all ages, he says, from old men and women to kids, to come to loot Ms. Rada and sexually assault the inhabitants. Asked if he can provide a list of victims, Yusuf says that's impossible. In Arab culture, a list would shame the women involved. In a report in March, a United Nations Commission of Inquiry found no evidence of systematic sexual assault on civilians in Libya. Investigators did find evidence that Taworgans, the supposed perpetrators, were killed, tortured, or turned into refugees. Now, if you want to find the black men, women, and children who were accused of rape and made into refugees, you have to travel hundreds of miles to one of several camps where they stay, like this one, where a group of kids play soccer indoors. They're in a cavernous room inside the Libyan Naval Academy in Tripoli. About 2,400 people set up homes inside vacant classrooms. Down the hall from the kids' soccer game, we met Nourdine Ramadan, a father of eight. He says his entire city did not commit atrocities, and also, incidentally, they're not all descendants of slaves.
Actually, we are originally Libyans, and we are first came to Libya before everybody else.
He says there were black people in Taworga because this is Africa, connected for centuries to trade routes in the south. Ramadan admits that some of his neighbors supported Muammar Gaddafi. Gaddafi's troops passed out rifles to civilians who joined the assault on Misrata.
In that time, you know, some people did foolish things. That's why now they think all Taworgan people did so and so and so and so and so. But actually, we didn't do that.
Still, Ramadan says, when Gaddafi's forces collapsed and Misrata troops came to his town, many of his neighbors were killed, and he fled. Before the war, Ramadan was a geologist for a state-owned oil company, though he now spends all his days in this camp.
Have you been able to resume work?
No.
Why not?
Not yet, because it's not safe, because Misrata brigades, they catch every Taworgan people.
Would they know you're a Taworga person just from looking at you?
Because we are very easy to recognize us, because I'm black. They catch any black people. Oh, who are you?
Once the refugees staged a protest march outside this camp, and refugees contend that gunmen opened fire on them. Two Taworgan women met with us and described how they were shot. The refugees say they want to go home, though there is less and less to return to. Here's the remains of a pickup truck, burned and rusted. And the city's been vacant long enough that bushes are beginning to grow in the streets. We're at the gate to what looks like it was an elegant house. There are these beautiful carved columns on either side of the door, and here in the front yard there's a tree with red flowers blooming all over it. Just about the only thing left alive in this town, because house after house after house has been burned out. On other streets, graffiti is spray-painted in Arabic. "Don't buy a slave unless you also buy a stick." The people of Misrata are slave masters of Taworga. Bye-bye, slaves of Taworga. On the road back to Misrata, we spotted another bit of graffiti in English, apparently left over from the war, when the people besieged in Misrata were seen as heroes before the world. That graffiti reads, "We want freedom and justice, nothing more."
You can follow more from Morning Edition's Revolutionary Road Trip on Twitter with the hashtag RevRoad, and there's more at our website, npr.org. You're hearing Steve Inskeep on Morning Edition from NPR News.